I want to look tonight at, I want to look at two things, but I want to put them together. I was talking a couple of weeks ago, and we used it when the Lord brings a particular person in Scripture to my mind. He usually just, you know, gives me a whole lot, so I just ride it out and get everything out of it as soon as I can for the time. And tonight I'm looking in 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter and the 13th verse, because I'm always talking to all the young believers. And let me stop for a moment. Edward, can you hear me? Edward, can you hear me? If you can, just wave your hand and do something. You can? Hey, I sent you a text that I was going to bring about that box of vegetables and things that I was bringing. Don't worry, I'll bring yours back to you since we finish here. And hopefully that won't be too late. Back to all the young people that we're dealing with, and the older people by now, and not discounting you, and it's for you too, and for all of us, it's something we have to always remember. This is the point that we're talking about with the young people especially. Older people know this. There's a scripture in Ephesians 6 that talks about, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, spiritual wickedness in high places. And that is absolutely true. And when you talk about all those, what we sometimes do when we look at Ephesians 6 is we make it be so small and personal. And the truth of it is the devil has as they said in the military, you got to see the big picture. And the big picture that the devil has in mind, that Lucifer has in mind, with all of his agents and all of his fallen angels and his demon spirits, I think all the fallen angels are probably locked up, but the demons from the pre-Adamite men that fell and all the people that worked with him, their purpose really is still to wrestle away the kingdom from God and to cause God to fail. So when we talk about wrestling not against flesh and blood, and even though I'm right here at wherever I am and I'm just fuzzing and fighting and acting stupid right in the spot where I am in such a small, minute way, I'm really fulfilling the dictates of Satan's kingdom, and I'm really working in such a way to cause people not to serve God and not to be a light to God. And it's and anything that I would do that would be contrary to God is a very small thing in the overall scheme of things, of how the principalities and the powers and the spiritual wickedness and how they, all those, it's very small when you look at what they're really doing. Their influence, if you looked at it tonight, when you look at this pandemic, you're really looking at the powers, the principalities and powers. So why principalities? Because we can do nothing about that. You can't legislate or stop. Can't do anything. They're looking for an immunization, and until God allows something to work, it is not going to work. And you're looking at the political and financial and the global scheme of things we're in right now. The devil his agents are really working hard and fast. What we don't want to do is be a part of that. You don't want to contribute to that. So when we talk about wrestling not against flesh and blood, we're usually so minute. We're talking about because, you know, the devil's telling you to give up, or somebody made you angry, or somebody offended you, or somebody made you mad, or you didn't get a job, or somebody cut you off on the street, or whatever. All those things that impact that people do to us in our small scale. And Paul tells us, and it's to our shame, that we need to put on the whole armor of God. We need to arm ourselves, because it is, when you really think about it, it's something that the devil doesn't have to use any more than someone jumping in front of you in line at Burger King to make you go all the way back to a person you were in sin 10 years ago. That's as much as it takes. And we should be ashamed of ourselves for letting that happen. It doesn't. Husbands and wives, and I am a husband and I have a wife, the arguments we have over you usually are over the most foolish things, if they're about anything at all, other than one said something that seemed to be not the way it should have been said to the other. I think we argue more about how we speak to each other than we do about things. Isn't that pathetic? And so, you know, isn't that ridiculous? So when we talk about putting on the full armor of God that we may be able to stand in the evil day, Everybody seems to want to jump up and talk about putting on some great. Everybody wants to become an apostle and rebuke the devil and do all these and be a prophet and do all these. This armor of God is, if you really want to know where it starts with wherefore put away malice. And it starts with not to think more highly of yourself than you ought to think. Oh, that's the arm of God. It starts in, you know, have faith in something as simple as have faith in God. That's a lesson in itself, and I might get over it tonight, but you see Jesus in the wilderness. He has on the whole arm of God, because for 30 years he has, you know, and it's been taught to him and drilled in him who God is, and the armor and what he has to work, you know, the gospel that he has and the sword of the Spirit. The word of God, the sword of the Spirit, which is what I'm trying so hard to get everyone to listen to and learn the word of God. Because without the word of God, you are weaponless. Without the word of God, you are unarmed. There is a scripture, and I'll bring these, and then I'm going to go to where I am. The scripture says in one place, except the Lord keep a city, I think it's in Psalms, the watchman waketh but in vain. Unless God is guarding over what you have, you can see the devil coming, but there's nothing you can do about it. If you don't have the Lord and his way, and you don't have the Holy Spirit, then you can see the devil coming. Sinners see the devil coming. They just can't stop him. And they call it their demons. They are demons. That's one thing they say truly. When they're fighting their demons, they're telling the truth, and they can do nothing with them. You can't talk yourself out of a demon. You gotta have some spiritual. You gotta have some power. So this is what we're talking about. When you see Jesus in the wilderness, after he's baptized by John the Baptist in water, and after the Holy Spirit, he's always had the Holy Spirit, but you also see the Spirit ascend and abide upon him. And God says, "This is my only begotten Son." He goes into the wilderness. And the only weapon that he has out there is the word of God. He never uses any other weapon other than it is written, and this is the scripture, and he's saying, this is what I know to be true, and so you can't do anything about me, you can't do anything to me. As he says later on, the prince of this world cometh, and he hath nothing in me, you know. He knows that the devil can't do anything concerning him until such time as God will allow it. And this is something, and so when he finally tells the devil to leave, he has no choice but to leave. Another scripture that we use all the time, and since this is a Bible study, and I'm trying not to be as long as I usually am, and so you have to kind of listen quickly. The other scripture, and it's in James, I'm pretty sure, it says, "Resist the devil, and he will flee." And I want everybody to know tonight, when it says resist the devil, if you can put your mind into it, I don't know if young people ever watch any of the old World War II movies or whatever. But anyway, during World War II, they had the people in France in place. They called them resistance fighters. And they were resisting the Nazis or whoever. They weren't just sitting there saying, "I'm not going to go along with you." They were fighting. I've heard people say that. You're not supposed to fight the devil. You're supposed to resist. Let someone grab you. Let someone run up to you on the street and grab you from behind. You're going to resist. You're not going to just sit there and say, "Take your hands off me, take your hands." You're going to resist. And that resistance has some motion and some movement. It has something involved. It's not as simply as saying, "Hey, you know, I'm resisting the devil. Oh, I'm tempted to drink some wine, but I'm resisting the devil." No. You don't sit there and resist like that. You take yourself up out of there and you do some different things and you work. Resist the devil. You have to stand in resistance when he comes and tells you to give up. You have to resist him and tell him, "No, I'm not."
Yeah.
Not just, "The devil told me to give up, but you know, I'm still here." No, you need to do more than that. You need to tell him, "No, I'm not.
I'm
not." In this particular moment, you know, and he always comes and tells you to get up and give up when you've really done something that's not very smart. And you can say to him, "At this particular moment in God, I might not be the most obedient of God's children, and right now I might not be God's child that he's most proud of, but I am still his child. I might not be the one that he's bragging about tonight. He's probably not saying, 'Have you seen my servant Charles tonight?' and whatever. And maybe, you know, God is feeling, maybe I have grieved the Holy Spirit, but he has not left me.
Yeah.
And so so I can get up and I can fight another day and go on in God. These are the things you need to know. I'm going to give you some armor tonight. I'm going to try to arm you to some degree tonight. And in the opening scripture, we read it. And I'm going to show you, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man, in 1 Corinthians 10 and 13. And you hear me talk about this a lot, and I didn't talk about it until we all, you know, really make our mind up about this so that we're not leaving every other day.
Okay. Yeah.
You know, you need to start off tonight by saying, number one, if you don't feel like you're saved, then say, Lord, save me. And trust God to do that, and make God a vow. Say, Lord, you know, and I've been wrong, but if you help me, I'll change.
Yes.
And go on in God, and ask Him to come on in, Lord, and do what you need to do. And then if you've done that, and you know that you have, because you can sense that there's a change concerning you, you still just have some shortcomings and failings and fallings. I've got news for you. The failings and fallings will become fewer as you grow more in God. Until you see Jesus, you're still going to have some. And hopefully they won't be the great, big, huge ones that really embarrass God. The ones that are abominations that God just utterly hates. And it says that he shakes his head and said, I can't really understand why someone who has my Holy Spirit could even do that.
Yeah.
Hopefully they're not presumptuous to that point. But sometimes those come too.
Yeah.
Occasionally the devil can trip you up, you can do those too. Bottom line is, if you're still breathing and if you still believe in God, you can repent. If you will allow yourself to, and the devil doesn't make you swell up so much in pride that you're afraid to repent, you can still repent. Don't ever be afraid to repent. I've heard people say from time to time, you're just repenting all the time. Well, you know, you can say that. Maybe that might be true, but you're not going to talk me out of repenting. That you're not going to do. When you're wrong, you need to say you're wrong.
Yeah.
So, well, how many times are you going to repent? As many times as I'm wrong. Until I get it right. What I'm not going to do is I'm not going to not be saved.
Yes.
I'm not going to not go on with God. I'm not going to give up on having everlasting life. I'm not going to give up on having eternity with God. This is what I'm not going to do. You're not going to shame me out of it. You're not going to make my pride build up in it. You're not going to boast of yourself to the point where I give up on God. It's not going to happen. I'm going all the way. I might be stumbling and fumbling, but by the grace of God, I'm going to be there. He says in this, there have no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. Or in other words, you haven't really, in another translation. And let's see what it says. No temptation has overtaken you, except such as common to man. In other words, I don't necessarily like overtaking you, because the temptation doesn't necessarily overtake you. You haven't gone through anything that someone else has not gone through before. I have not gone through everything you've gone through. You haven't gone through everything I've gone through, but everything that I have gone through, someone else has already gone through it. It's something that, and the idea is not that it's something that I'm going through that someone else has gone through. The point is that God has seen all this before. God has seen people go through this before. And he says, but God is faithful. You can depend on God, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond that you're able. You can depend on God not to let things, and as the old people say, he won't put more on you than you can bear. And they get it from this scripture. You can depend on God not to allow you to be tempted or tried in such a way that it's just more than you can bear, more than you're able to stand. It's beyond what you can do. Now, as opposed to that, sinners have things come on them that they can't handle all the time. This is why they commit suicide. This is why they go on drugs. if you were ever on drugs because of your problems, or you were on alcohol or whatever you were before you came to God, you were on whatever you were on because in your normal mind, you couldn't handle it, didn't want to handle it, wanted to do something else with it. People who are wounded and hurt, I feel one of the things that I look at, the people that really need God, people who have tragic circumstances and events who happen in their lives, whether there's, you know, especially when they're in sin, they like to make a memorial to the trial, and so that they remember the trial, and they want to keep going through the trial, and they want to recreate the hurt and experience the hurt, and they want to have an anniversary for the hurt, and they want to commemorate the hurt. And God, what we want to do is we want to be delivered. And the Spirit comes and He sets you free. And you might remember the day that somebody passed or whatever, but you don't go back and relive all the hurt and the trauma and the this and that. Not people, not when the. But if you do, you sell yourself short, because if you would allow the Holy Spirit, He would work it so that you can remember them and love them without going through all that hurt. And it's the same thing in many, many other things. God is faithful and will not allow you to be tempted above that or tried above that you're able. The trial that a person goes through when they got saved last week is not the same as the trial that a person goes through who has been walking with the Lord for the last 50 years.
Yeah.
Those people, if they have really walked with God, the trials that they went through when they were first came to Christ, those things they're not even part of their reality anymore. Those, that's not even, the test of whether or not I'm going to take a drink or not, that's not even part of my life.
Yeah.
It's not something I tell myself every day, like alcoholics. I'm not going to drink today, one day at a time. That's not where I am.
Yeah.
That's no longer part of my reality. I'm not there. This is how complete the work of God is in situations and things in our lives. So then, if the devil wants to overthrow me, he has to do something other than that.
Yeah.
That's something that I've grown beyond, and so he has to do more than that. Now, the things that he would bring to discourage me now, when I first got saved, God would not allow them to come, because I would not have survived them.
Right.
Some of the things that the people have said to me in recent years that say to me now, if they had said them to me when I first got saved, my God, I would have went someplace else. I would have done something else. I would have given up on this, If I had had some of the treatment in later years that I had, if I had had that when I first got saved, I would be here today. And God knew that and wouldn't let that happen.
Yeah, right.
So then what can I say about God? I can say that the things that God does allow to come into my life, I'm supposed to be able to handle.
Yeah.
I'm supposed to say you're supposed to be able to just handle them. I'm supposed to, with the grace of God and by the Spirit of God, I'm supposed to know what to do with them. I'm supposed to know how to pray for them. I'm supposed to know where, I'm supposed to work those things out. When they come now, I know where to turn. By the time Jesus is in the wilderness and Satan comes, he knows what to do and what to say and how to go. That's the armor. That's this spiritual armor that you're supposed to have. We like to tell you, he didn't promise a spiritual armor. We don't ever tell you what it is. It's the word of God. It's the faith that we have in God. Having been tried by God, you have the helmet of salvation, you have the shield of faith. In other words, what's protecting me? My faith in God. You won't have faith in God unless you know God. You can talk about it, but you won't have that unless you know God. Donna and Elder Reed and I were talking about it before I started tonight. We were talking about people in various churches who are saved and on their way to heaven, will get the same reward that I get. Will have a crown just like the one that God's going to give me. And God will say the same thing to them as he say to me, well done. And I've seen them all my life. And they were in churches that I grew up in, Baptist churches, Methodist churches, and various churches. And those people love God, and they believed that God would heal you.
Yeah.
They believe in miracles.
Yes.
They believe in being saved. They believe in being set free from sin. They believe in having their sin forgiven. They say, but they don't know nothing about the gifts. They don't have to.
Have to. That's right.
There's no place that I believe in the gifts. I know about them.
Yeah.
But I've never read that anybody needs to know about the gifts to be saved. I have not. And the truth of it is, it's like Paul says in Romans, they without the law have themselves become, they don't know about, you know, you want to talk, you want them to go and be able to specify what are the working gifts and what are the vocal gifts and what are the mental gifts of what's the other, working, vocal, and inspirational gifts, whatever.
Yeah.
You want them to be able to define all of them and do all those, and they can't tell you what the gift of word of knowledge is, but they can tell you that the Lord told them not to go someplace and they didn't go.
Right, yes.
And you they won't say that, well, the power gifts were in operation and I got healed. No, they'll just say, you know, I had cancer and the Lord healed me.
Yes. That's what
and they'll, you know, and well, you know, and they're not able to, they might not ever be able to identify, you know, like you do. I remember when the Lord slayed me and when he did all that. And if he did all that, that's a wonderful thing.
Right, yeah.
And they may not be able to do that, but they will have the wisdom that comes from on high.
Yes.
And if you start to do silly things, they'll look at it and say, well, you know, I don't know if the Lord goes along with that or not. I've been knowing people like that all my life, and while they've never sat in a seminar where anybody ever taught them about the gifts or anything. I'm not saying that all these aren't great. We need all these.
Yes.
And you're blessed because you have them. But don't write people off who don't say they're not saved because they haven't had that. Because this is what Paul was trying to explain to them in Romans. The Jewish people, he says, you know God, you know about heaven, you know all about this. He says, but here are these people who are Gentiles. He says that they've been living for God all this time without a law.
Yeah, yes.
So then when we look at being, back to where I am, there are some things that we do when we look at God, when we look at having the whole armor of God and having the faith of God and having what we're supposed to have. There are people who have the armor of God who they don't teach on Ephesians 6 all the time, but they...
Right.
They know how not to go back, and they know where to draw the line,
yeah.
So that they stay saved. They know that. We need to understand that when we're talking about putting on the whole armor of God, especially the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, it means exactly that. Without the Word of God, you have nothing to fight with. You don't have it. So let me get back to this and finish this tonight. There has no temptation taken you. And so in other words, in a believer's life, watch when he says there's nothing accidental in a believer's life. In a believer's life, someone in whom the Holy Spirit dwells, someone who's risen with Christ, someone who's saved, not someone, don't ever confuse knowledge with salvation.
Yeah.
Knowledge brings salvation, and because of that you are saved, and once you're saved, you grow in knowledge. But knowledge by itself is not salvation. Knowing that the devil causes things to happen doesn't save you from them. That's like saying, I know that a gun will kill. That doesn't save you from it. You need to know what to do. So when the Apostle Paul writes, there hath no temptation taken you, or no trouble has come your way, no trial has come your way. But trials that other people have had to go through, because we all live on earth and God is faithful,
yeah,
and will not allow you to be tried, or won't allow things to come above that you're able, or that will overwhelm you or overtake you.
Yeah.
But will with the temptation or the trial make a way to escape? In other words, this would overtake you if God didn't give you a way out.
Yes.
Egypt would have overran Israel if God had not parted the Red Sea.
Right.
Joshua would have never been able to take Jericho if God hadn't caused the walls to fall. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego would have never survived the fiery furnace if God had not made them immune to the fire.
Yes.
God will always make a way for you to escape. Jonah would have drowned if God had not sent a whale, and so forth and so on. When we are faced with choices, there's always a choice those of us who are saved. There's always a choice to choose God. Now, if you're a sinner, you don't have that choice because you don't have God. But if you have the Lord, there's always a choice to choose God. Well, how will you know unless you know the way of the Lord, and the way of the Lord is right? And this is what Christian education and Bible study is all about. I want to look at two scriptures. And then when I look at these, we will just about be ready to go. I want to look at the one I read the other day about Ahab. And the only thing about this is, and I'm going to look at verse 19 because we've been going through this, and so I'll just look at 1 Kings 22 and verse 19. And then I'm going to look at the scripture in Job, and I will just about be finished. And the Lord said, 22 and 19, hear, and he said, hear thou therefore the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting on his throne and all the host of heaven standing by him on his right hand and on his left. The host of heaven. That means all the angels that are on God, that are still serving God, two-thirds of heaven, and all the just men who are saved by faith, who, you know, and all those, they're sent, the host of heaven. It also means the one-third that have fallen with Satan, the host of heaven. And although the angels that fell are locked up in Tartarus, the evil spirits and the demons are still allowed from time to time, as well as Satan is. And Satan is not locked up, because if he was, he wouldn't have come up to see God in Job's time. And Peter wouldn't say he's still walking through the earth as a roaring lion. And somebody might say, well, that's the spirit of Satan. No, that's the devil. He's still going around, because when you read in Revelation, if you don't believe it, go back and read in Revelation about 18 or 19, somewhere around in there, and it tells you when he's going to be locked up.
Yes.
He has a time. Mm-hmm. And it says it specifically. It's like somebody said one time, they didn't think Moses was dead. God just took him on to heaven. No, the Bible says very clearly, my servant Moses is dead.
Yep.
You have to read the word of God. It is true. So then, when all the hosts of heaven, when all of them, they have their opportunity to come before God, might be all at one time, or just various times, but the point it's making is, as the host of heaven, God looks and sees all of them, and all of them, you know, come before God. He asks him, he says, who's going to cause a, you know, he says, who's going to cause Ahab to fall? He says, you know, what is it that can be done to stop Ahab? Why does God want to stop Ahab? Ahab has caused Israel to sin more than any person before him. And seems like he just keeps getting away. And you would say, then why doesn't God just step in and kill him off? And God is saying, because that's not the way to do it. It has to be done in such a way that I am fair about this. And as long as Ahab is king, and I'm looking at him, and he's running this program, if you think that it would be fair and just for God to just kill Ahab off, then God, it would have been fair and just for God to have already killed every one of us off. He allows us to run our program out to a certain time and see where it will go. And the other reason why is because other people need to see where the sort of person that Ahab is will lead, so that I don't go down that road and you don't go down that road. God has all the wisdom. Me knowing what Ahab did stops a whole lot of people from doing what Ahab did. So he says, what is going to cause Ahab to fall? Now, here's the point. Remember back in Corinthians, the 10th chapter, when it says, but God is faithful and will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able to make a way to escape? Ahab could have escaped. Why could Ahab have escaped? Because God's servant Micaiah comes in and tells them that he's not going to win if he goes to war. He says that if you go to war, you're going to die. What was that warning? It was a way to escape.
Yeah.
It was a way to escape. I didn't say God would take you out of all your trials. The Bible doesn't say he'll take you out of all of them. He says he'll give you a way out.
Right.
He gave every one of us who saved a way out of sin.
Yeah.
He sent his son Jesus Christ as a way out. We can believe on Christ, his death, burial, and resurrection, his powerful ascension, the blood that he shed for the forgiveness of our sins. We can believe on him. The Holy Ghost will come and open up the doors of heaven and the word of God and the way of God. When he comes in, he opens up heaven and reveals heaven to us, because heaven is given to us, and, you know, by the Spirit, he says in Ephesians and one of them. And when he does this, this is our way out.
Yes.
It's how we escape sin. It's how we escape hell. It's how we escape, you know, damnation. It's our way out. If we will choose it.
Choose it, yes.
Living in earth, it is a way out. In every day, when the devil comes, because he goes before God, he says, I'll be a lying spirit in his prophets. He didn't say, I'll go down and kill Ahab. Yeah. He says, I'll go down and be a lying spirit in the mouth of his prophets. And then Ahab can believe the prophets or not believe the prophets. He has a way out. On another time, we'll go to Job. And when all of them come before God, and this is another reason why I know Satan is not locked up. Because if when I read in verse 6 in Job, it says, now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them, all the angels and all those people who were sons of God that came to present themselves before the Lord. And Satan, although he had been cast out, taken out of his role, he had been reduced, removed, changed. No longer the anointed cherub, but he showed up anyway. Came before God. And the Lord said to Satan, whence coming down? And Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth and walking up and down in it, seeing who, you know, as Peter says, trying to destroy everybody.
Yeah.
And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil? And Satan answered the Lord and said, doth Job fear God for naught? Hath not thou made a hedge about him? Now, everyone here who is afraid, let me tell you this. If you're afraid that you're going to be overran by the devil, do something about it. If you think that you're going to be overran, because you're doing something you have no business doing, stop doing it. And if you think you're going to be overtaken by the devil because you have something that you have not repented of, repent and stop doing it. And then if you can think of no reason why you're not in good standing with God, then you need to just pray more and ask God to strengthen you and give you and to increase your faith and to build you up and go on in God. You know, if you're living every day like something bad's going to happen, you need to pray. You need to find yourself in God. You need to find yourself in the Word of God and go on in God and go from there. And then if you feel like the bad things are going to happen because you are doing bad things, like I said, stop doing them. Repent. If you feel like that you can sense when you need to draw nearer to God. I hear people say sometimes, something just said to me that it's going to be a bad day. Then you should have prayed. If the devil was threatening you with something, this is going to be a bad day, you need to take 30 seconds and say, Lord, watch over me and keep me in the name of Jesus. And if I've done anything, Lord, please forgive me. And if any way I have offended the Holy Ghost, I'm out of line, Lord, get me in it and make me right, oh God. And Lord, watch over me and keep me. And then go on out. This is what you need to do. And have faith in God. Every time I step on a plane, I always ask God. One of the last things I do before we leave the ground, I say, Lord, please keep me in the name of Jesus. And I'm not afraid to do it, and I never get tired of doing it. I'm not going to stop doing it. Every time I touch the ground, I say, thank you, Jesus. And I mean it. It's not just a phrase. Because God will keep you. One thing we learn when we look at Job is the devil comes and he says something that we don't seem to know. He tells God about Job. He says, you have a hedge around him. He says, I can't get to the man because you're protecting him.
Yeah.
Why does the devil know that God's protecting Job? Why does the devil know that God's watching over us and we don't?
No.
Why is it so obvious to him? Why does he know that God will keep us from falling? And we don't seem to know that. He makes the statement. He says, and Satan asked the Lord and says, does Job fear God for naught? He says, there's a reason why God holds on to you. Well, duh. There's a reason why I hold on to God.
Yeah.
That really is. Fear means respect God. Have reverential fear. It's the reason why he holds on to you. Now, the devil wants to make it seem like the only reason why he holds on to you is so I won't get a hold of him. And God is saying, no, it's more than that. He holds on to me because he loves me.
Yes.
And I'm his father. We should be holding on to God because we love him and he's our father.
Yes.
Oh, you know, this is the whole point that when Paul writes and he tells them to put on the armor of the Lord. This is armor.
Yes.
We are arming ourselves.
Yes.
Peter tells us, he says, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. We are arming ourselves. Jesus is armed when he's in the wilderness. He has the sword of the Spirit. He has the breastplate of righteousness. He's ready for the devil. This is why we come to Bible study. This is why we pray. We're ready. So that when he comes, and I'm telling me every few months, you know, I'm as old as I am, as long as I've been in God. By now, how many times you have to tell me that when something's going wrong with me that it's the devil? How many times you have to do that before I'm able to be able to see that myself? Jesus knows very quickly who Satan is when he shows up. Among all of us, when are we ever going to come to it that the reason why we're ever discouraged, situations might be there to discourage us, when are we ever going to figure out that any discouragement never comes from God? When is any of us ever going to figure out that discouragement never comes from God?
Yes.
It doesn't matter whether there are things outside of us that discourage us or whether we allow ourselves to discourage ourselves with our own mind. The message and the intuitiveness that causes us to be discouraged never comes from God. Even if we attempt to do something and we fail at it, now I sound like Joel Osteen, and we fail at it, and it's our own failing, the discouragement doesn't come from God, because if we're not out of the will of God, the Holy Ghost says, get up and try again. Or the Holy Ghost says, that was the wrong thing to do. Let it go. Be done with that. That wasn't the right thing to, you know, your heart was in the right place, but it was the wrong thing to do. Maybe so. But we get to a point where after a while, so that we start to recognize this is the devil, and his motive is always the same: to cause me not to worship the true and living God. Well, I'm just one little minute, I don't even register on the scheme of life when it comes to the size of God's universe and what we do, other than to God, I'm so small.
Yes.
Why would the devil try so hard to turn me around? Because he's trying to get people not to worship God one person at a time.
Yeah.
The idea of that everyone he turns around is one that God loses.
Yeah, that's
right. And every time he causes one to fall, what Satan doesn't understand is even when one of us falls, it is not a failure for God, because God has done what needs to be done so that we shouldn't fall and so that we should be saved. So even if Satan should turn you around, it is not God having failed.
Yes.
It's no victory for Satan, because how much of a victory can it be when he's going to end up in hell and you're going to end up in there with him? How is that to anyone victorious? So when the devil addresses God concerning Job, the point that's being made, and why do we even have Job? The point being made is that Satan can do no more to Job than God will allow him to do it. He says, "Has not thou hast made a content? Has not thou made a hedge about him and about his house and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is an increase in the land. But put forth thine hand now and touch all that he has, and he will curse thee to thy face." In other words, he says, let it be so that you stop protecting him. Now, let's understand something about Job. You're not a Job. I'm not a Job. So don't worry. You know, you're not a Job. I'm not a Job. Trying to be. And maybe we're more Job than we think. Maybe we are more Job than we think we are. Maybe we've gone through more things and more things have happened to us than we want to, than we think. And in this, instead of counting all our failings and fallings, you should count the amount of times that you could have gone back and you didn't. You should, you know, and each time you didn't go back, I don't care how close you were or what you thought. And people like to talk about the scars. You're just up and down. You just yo-yo back and forth. That's okay, but I'm still here. And each time I have resisted and have not gone back, I don't care how close I came, I still resisted the devil. And in that case, and for that particular instance, I still defeated the plan of Satan for my life because I didn't give up. And I didn't allow the Holy Spirit to leave me. And I didn't change my mind. And I didn't curse God. And I didn't say there is no God. And I didn't say I didn't need Jesus anymore. And I didn't tell God I'm never going to serve you again. So, you know, out of all those things, those trials came, and God is pleased because he allowed him to bring me to a point where I could have said those things, but I did not. He made a way. In the pit of my despair, maybe God had somebody call me. And when they called me, it was up to me whether I would allow them to talk to me or not. Or I could have come to service that night angry. And the Lord spoke to me, and in the service, he gave me a word that would bring me out. But it was up to me whether or not I let it bring me out or not. Yeah. Or the Spirit came to me and said, look and examine these things and see which one is preferable. Maybe the Spirit came and said to me the same thing that God said when he said to Isaiah, come now, let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, he says, you're wrong, 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 wrong all day. He says, but I can fix that. I can clean that up. I can make you all right. This is God making a way for me to escape if I'll take it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe on him should not perish, but have whosoever would believe on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Whoever would believe on him can escape. They won't perish. They'll have everlasting life. They have no trial. There's nobody in God that Satan hasn't told numerous times, beginning from the first night you got saved and went home. And the first person you told, I got saved tonight, and they looked at you like you were crazy. That was the devil showing up to discourage you immediately. Well now, how could you've been, let me tell you what I used to hear all the time growing up. We used to grow up, and in the generation that is in front of mine, there's a generation in my mother's generation. I don't know how many of you know, but Elder Reed and I are the two oldest grandkids in my grandfather's family. We're the two oldest grandkids. And the generation before us, my mother was his favorite daughter. Probably shouldn't have favorites, but she was. And she cut up. But anyway, in the generation before mine, a lot of the kids would leave the South, and they would go to Philadelphia and New York and all those different places and whatever. My mother, my mother wasn't born in North Carolina to start, but she was born in New Jersey, so she just dropped us off down here. But some of them would, especially the ones in New York, a lot of them started going to Church of God in Christ, and a lot of them got saved. Not all of them, died sinners. A lot of them really went to found churches and were filled with the Holy Ghost and got saved, and until then they were living very loose lives and they were doing whatever, and when they got saved and when they would come back to North Carolina to visit, the people there would say, oh, you had to go to some other church to get saved. They instead of them being so glad that they weren't drunks and druggies and this is and that and whatever, which is what they should have been, they, were ridiculing them because they didn't get saved in their church. Sometimes when people get saved, instead of your mother being so glad that you got saved and so glad, until then, your mother or your father are the ones who have to watch out for you and hope that you don't die in the street of an overdose. Now, if you really have the Holy Ghost, my God, you got the greatest help you can have.
Yes.
How much greater help can you have than God?
Yeah, that's right.
And every person you tell, if their minds weren't so darkened by sin and by Satan, every person who has the light of God, and this is why heaven rejoices so much when you say, heaven knows that you have ran to safety and you come to God, and now you've got help against the devil showing up saying, let me try him.
Yeah. Praise the Lord.
So then God is so this is what the Apostle Paul is saying to the saints in Corinth, because they're being persecuted for coming out of idolatry and believing on Christ, and that way they've become Christians.
Yeah.
And they have believed on Christ, and they've stopped serving all these idol gods. And their neighbors are persecuting them, and their families are persecuting them. And it just goes on and on, and the persecution is great. And Paul says to them, out of all these things, he's talking to them more about, he's not talking to them so much about other things, he's talking about turning around and going back. And he's saying to them, you know, you're not being tried any more than anyone else, you know, who's been in the faith. He says, but God is faithful. Don't worry. He's got you. He's going to keep you.
Yeah.
You know, he's going to sustain you. He will make a way, no matter what comes, that you're going to have a way out. Even Stephen, when it comes down to Stephen, who preaches the gospel to the end, Stephen looks into heaven and he knows he's going. And that seems to be all the encouragement he needs. Doesn't seem to be. Is it all the encouragement
he
needs to not only allow them, you know, he can't do anything about it, but it's what he needs to be able to forgive them before he dies.
Yes.
So someone makes you angry, and you're just gonna hold it forever. You know, you can play all the games you want, but the devil's coming. If you haven't learned to forgive people, you don't have to worry about it. He's not very far from you anyway. If you haven't learned not to have to control your temper, you know, Satan is not far from you anyway. If you haven't learned yet to stop being stubborn or to get along with people, and this is why you have these long lists in Corinthians that I sound like a broken record talking about. If you haven't learned yet to put away wrath and let all clamor cease and then lie not one to another and don't let corrupt communication come out of your mouth, you're a very useful tool for the devil. You can claim to have all the armor you want, but you know, it's like putting on spiritual armor with a bee in your helmet. You got a helmet on, but the bee's already in there, stinging you every opportunity he gets. So then, no wonder. If you're not going to allow the Holy Spirit to come and strengthen you personally, no wonder you get afraid the first time the devil comes and tells you you're not saved. No wonder it doesn't take very much for someone to offend you so that you think about not ever coming to church again. No wonder. Because you haven't allowed the Holy Spirit to arm you properly so that you haven't built up that spiritual armor to stand in the evil day. What's the evil day? Every day that something comes that would cause you not to want to go on in God is an evil day.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter how it is. You know, you're on your way to work and the tire goes flat, and then while your car is on the side of the street waiting for a AAA, somebody sideswipes on top of all that, and you go to the phone to call AAA. When you come back, they have broken in your car and stole all your stuff. England was bad for that. If you break down the side of the highway in England, they would break out all your windows. That's one thing they would definitely do, without fail. You come back and your car's been vandalized. Then you get to work and your boss says, well, this is three times you've been late, you're fired. Now you don't have that. You go home and you find out that one check is bounced and caused several of your other checks to bounce because the bank took their money for penalties before they cashed your checks. And so now your rent wasn't paid because that was one of the biggest checks you had bounced, and so all your small checks cashed and the big check that you needed didn't cash. And you have no money, and it's going on, and you're wondering, then what do I need God for? Well, it's the other way around. You should make up your mind. I must be, unless you're living in sin and you need to repent. But if you're living well, you should say, you know what? I must really be living holy. God is going to work a miracle for me because this is a lot.
Yeah.
And the Lord is going to see me through.
Yes.
And you do like Job. Go before God. Job, do you get this part right? Go before God and say, Lord, if there's any way I have offended you, anything I've done wrong, Lord, please forgive me because I need you to work these things out.
Yeah.
If I am in any way separated from you and so these things are happening, please draw me near. I'm trying to draw near to you, and I need you to draw near to me because I need help.
Yeah.
Now is not the time to decide. When those things come, that's not the time to turn and run away from God. He's your way of escape. He's your way out. He's your help.
Yeah.
I will look into the hills from whence cometh my help. My help coming from the Lord who made heaven and earth.
Yeah.
This is what I'm supposed to do. Among whatever age you are, we spend way too much time going through.
Yeah.
Now, if you're in your 20s and 30s, haven't been saved long, I understand it because you haven't seen a lot of life. You're a teenager. You're in school. My God, you know, it can be difficult, you know. You can also make it difficult because you can make yourself stand out in a way that really isn't necessary, but you need God. And God will work it out. It is a lack of faith that would cause anyone, whether you're in school or wherever you are, to think that God will not watch over you and keep you, because God will do that no matter where you are.
Yeah.
The Lord will see you through.
Yes,
and we, you know, we need to encourage, especially all young people, you really need the Lord. You need to have faith in Him. You need to trust in God.
Yes.
The Lord will see you through. He saw David through with Goliath.
Yes.
All those stories are there to show you, you know, you might have Goliaths in your life. God will see you through. The Lord will give you a way out.
Yes, He will.
If you will stay in God. So for all the, and I'm finishing now, for all the young people, middle-aged people, old people like myself, you know, have faith in God. Things come in our lives, and we're getting to a point now. Brother, you know, Elder Batty died last week. I'm at an age in my life now where I'm starting to see how we're in the zone, where we're starting to naturally die for various reasons, and that's just a part of life. That's what we're seeing. That's what we're drawing near to now. And then for the young people, you're entering careers and seeing moves, and you have all these things going on, and you still need a house and a place to live, and the job of jobs and so forth and so on. You really need the Lord. This is the time to give up on God. It's the time to really draw near.
Yeah.
Well, what does the devil use to try any of us? What does the devil use to try you? He uses the things you love.
Yes.
He tries you based on the things that are in your affections.
Yeah.
No one has ever been tried by something they didn't care for.
Yeah.
He uses the people close to you. Sometimes he will use them to try you, and they're not even there, and as innocent as the days are long. It's just the way that things fall out.
Yeah.
grow in God and make up your mind today that no matter what, the Lord's going to see me through, because this is what 1 Corinthians 10 and 20 and 10 and 13 is saying.
Yeah.
He's saying the Lord will see you through there. If whatever trial will come, God will work it out. If you will allow the Lord will make a way for you to be able to go through it. I was talking to, and I'm finishing now, L.T. Angela earlier, and my God, she's been sitting down for all these years. I was praying for her the other day, and I was praying, the Lord was bringing to my mind all the people in the Bible who really, you know, many of them who had maladies and ailments for a long time. The woman who had issue of blood for 12 years, the man by the pool of Bethesda. It doesn't say he was by the pool for 38 years, but he had been sick for 38 years wherever he was.
Yes.
The lepers, you name it, all the people who had some serious issues, and the Lord worked them out after a period of time. Why did it take, you say, why did it take God so long? I do not know, but when God shows up, I'm not going to ask Him what took Him so long. I'm just going to be so glad He's there. You know, you can spend time being angry with me for being late, or you can be glad that I've showed up at all.
Oh, that's right.
You know, whenever I come, you ought to be glad to see me if you're going through any distress.
Praise the Lord.
And it's the same thing with God. So I was telling Ella Tiangela, because I was praying, and the Lord was bringing all that to my mind concerning her, and to Elder Smith as well. With this recurrence of cancer, not the same place, so it's not like the same cancer came back. It's, you know, but it's the body, it's this mortal body that she has. that allowed that came back in.
Yes.
And I started praying and asking God to give them perfect soundness. And the
yes.
same thing for Elder Paulette Harrison, but for those
yes.
two in particular, I was asking God to give them perfect soundness because they have more things they need to do.
Yes.
Elder Tiangela's mother's been helping her all these years, and now her mother's getting older. And the Lord said to me, maybe now she needs to be healed so she can help her mother out. But
yes.
however it goes, but
yes.
but we're looking for the Lord to do great miracles. The Lord is our way out.
Yes.
As the Apostle Paul says in Hebrews, and I say to all of you all the time, the Word of God is, you're not supposed to just compartmentalize it and just be that for the night. No, it all comes
together. Yeah.
How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation that began to be spoken by the prophets and was spoken to us at this time by his dear son?
Yeah.
How are we going to get out of this if we don't have Jesus, if we don't have
yes.
the word of,
yes.
if we don't have the word of God, if we neglect this great salvation that is given by him? So when we spend our time, you know, we can, it is true when we look at Ephesians and look at all these places, yes, the devil is active.
Yes.
And he has a host who are in various places. Right now, spiritual wickedness and, you know, principalities are responsible for not only for the pandemic, but for the racism
yes.
that is in all these minds. And it's not just a matter of a person being a racist. It's incorporated into our societies
yes.
worldwide, and it drives what we do and
yes.
how we do things
yes.
And it's greater design. It's not just to make me feel bad as a person. The greater design is to see God's plan
yes.
fail.
Yes.
It is to see God's plan of salvation, his effort to have someone created in his image who will serve him of their own free will. It is so much bigger than me.
Yeah.
What they have in mind. And so I need to just do we need to do like kids, like babies. We don't live in an era where parents take their kids to work with them. But when we were little, my mother who raised me used to have to take us, you know, to the field or wherever. She just parked us in a place where we were safe because she had to go do what she had to do.
Yeah.
We need to let God just park us in a place that's safe so he can do what he needs
yeah.
to do.
Yeah.
We need to let him just put us in our bassinet or whatever it is, and we just play with our toys and, you know, just shut up and color
yeah.
and glorify yeah. God and let God do what he needs to do.
Yeah.
Because if when you try to help God, especially these things, all you do is get in the way.
Yeah.
What does that mean, Bishop Smith? What is my bassinet? You need to pray and to seek God and to glorify God and to abstain from sin and stay out of sin and stay out of trouble, support the church, pay your tithes, do the things you need to do in God, because God has so many other things that he's working. You will be one less problem and one more person that he can have glory in.
Yes. Yes.
Even down to the pastors. You know, when you're a good saint and you come to church like you're supposed to and you're praying for the church and you're concerned about it, you do this and do all these things, you're one less person that the pastor has to worry about,
yeah.
and then he can work with the people who are coming up a little short, or the people
yeah.
who really have a need and who really need this and really need that. His prayers are going out to the people who really need a healing and really need to be brought up, and it's not always, you know, trying to dig you out.
Yes.
I didn't know I was such a problem. Well, you know, we're all a problem.
Yeah.
We just try to be less of one. To God. We've been an issue since the garden. So God has had to really work with us to keep us. But God is fair.
Yes.
And God is faithful. And he won't let anybody do but so much to us.
Yeah.
If we'll just stay in God. I want to encourage everybody tonight, if you're safe, stay saved. If you're not saved, you need to be saved. And if you, if you're just barely hanging in there and the Holy Ghost is holding on to you by a thread, come closer. It's a lot more comfortable in the middle of the bed than it is on the edge.
Yes.
So, you know, come closer, and that way you're not afraid of falling, and you're sure that God is going to keep you, and the Lord will watch over you and keep you. Let me pray. Father, we come before you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Lord, we thank you so much, Lord, that you won't allow us to be tried above that we are able, or to be tested. You don't let the devil just do things to us that you know we can't survive. Lord, we thank you so much for that. And Father, for that, Lord, we make you a vow, Lord, that what things do come, Lord, we'll draw nigh unto you. We know that many of the things that come are way beyond our own strength and our own knowledge, and we draw nigh unto you and to your precious Holy Spirit. Lord, we need your help. Lord, we worship you and we glorify you, Lord. Lord, we give you all honor and all praise. If it was not for your great grace and for your great mercy and your love that you bestowed upon us, Lord, we would not survive. Lord, we're kept by your power divine. Lord, we glorify you and we honor your name. And much more so, Lord, Lord, we've come to love you, O God. Lord, by the power of the Holy Ghost who dwells in us, he sheds the love of God in our hearts. And Lord, we love you. Lord, let us be as Job tonight, Lord, not because we are being tried, but because we love you so much. And no matter what may come our way, we won't stop loving God. We'll be like the Apostle Paul in Romans. We'll let nothing separate us from the love of God. We won't let things come in and turn us around from God. We won't let people come in or situations come in and turn us around from God. We might weep for a night, but we'll have joy in the morning.
Yes.
Some of our nights might be longer than others, but the daylight will come. Lord, you is light and no darkness at all. Lord, you are a God of light. Lord, we ask you to bless the saints tonight, Lord, and keep us. Guard our hearts and minds. Strengthen us with might by your spirit in the inner man. Lord, strengthen us with might by your spirit in the inner man.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, I pray, Lord, even as you lay out before us your armor, Lord, give us a mind to put it on. That we'll be able to stand in the evil day. Lord, having done all, that means that we have prayed, and Lord, we've fasted, and we've called on your name, and we've sang Zion songs, and we've resolved ourselves, Lord, to forgive. We've done the things that you told us to do. We've read the word of God, heard the word of God, doing all we can to live the word of God. Lord, having done all, to stand.
Yes.
Lord, that we'll be found standing. Lord, that we have resisted the devil and his agents, O God. Lord, we'll give you all the glory and all the honor and all the praise. Lord, touch Elder Smith tonight. Touch Elder Tiansa Rogers tonight. Lord, touch Elder Paulette Harrison tonight. And all those who have any of it. Lord, touch Elder Deborah Stuhl tonight.
Yes.
Lord, give her a miracle, Lord, that she didn't know that you'd even give.
Yes.
Lord, move in her body in such a way, Lord, that she was not even expecting, oh God.
Yes.
Lord, you do things so far beyond what we're able to ask or think. And among all of us, Lord, remember Travis tonight and everybody else who have any sickness, any malady, any concerns, Lord, move among us tonight and strengthen us. Lord, that we will go out and cause our lights to shine into the glory of God. And Lord, we'll give you all the glory, all the honor, all the praise in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the people of God say amen.